We thank God once again that through His mercy and grace that He saw fit to spare us another day to witness this first day of the week. And we thank God for each and every one of you that are here this morning. We pray that those that had a desire to be here, but for reason beyond their control, were not able to make it. Our prayers are with them as well. We welcome our visitors here this morning that are visiting with us. Don't know whether this is your first visit to the Church of Christ, but if you see something different here, that the way we worship and where you worship, by all means, get with someone that invited you here, that we might sit down and reason the scripture together, either any member of the Church of Christ here. We'll be happy to explain to you why we do what we do. The Bible teaches us that we are to speak where the Bible speaks, and we are to be silent where the Bible is silent. And so this morning, we thank God for each and every one that are here this morning. We thank God for Sister Flo is back with us. In fact, I just spoke with her on yesterday. I asked Brother Dennis this morning. I said, well, have you spoken to Sister Flo? He said, yes, she's right back there. Didn't know that she had made it. And so Sister Chloe asked me to let you all know that she thanked you all for all your prayers and your thoughts while she was going through the ordeal of her surgery. And she just asked us to pray for her, for the thing that she shouldn't do and the thing that she should do. So we want just to keep Sister Flo in our thoughts and prayers this morning as well, as many others that are standing in the need of prayer. I have a lesson this morning coming from the old book of Exodus. And my subject this morning is the Torah of Moses. And I know we're not used to hearing this word, because this is a Hebrew word, Torah. And this word, Torah, translated from the Hebrew language, came to us as, in the King James Version, as law. And so we could say the law of Moses instead of the Torah of Moses. And we know that if it was the law of Moses, then it was the law of God, because God gave Moses this law. And so that's what we want to talk about this morning, is the Torah of Moses. And this law was given to Moses and the people of God in that day and time, and they were to keep this law. And you'll find sometime that people will try to keep, in our day and time, the law of the Old Testament. Some come to the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and they turn and they go back, and they try to keep those things that are in the old law. And so that's what we want to talk about this morning, is the law of Moses and the New Testament law that Christ brought us. And so hopefully through the study of this lesson this morning that we'll be able to have a deeper understanding of these two laws, is the law of Christ and the law of Moses, the Torah. But before that, we go any further into this lesson, we like to count this as a blessing as well as an opportunity to pray to our Heavenly Father. And not only just to pray, but have the assurance that when we pray, that God hears our prayers all the way up in heaven. So this time, let us humble ourselves while the one has been appointed to lead us in prayer. In this lesson this morning, the word Torah, when we're around someone that's of the Jewish faith, you hear this word a lot, Torah. And sometimes we think that they're speaking a foreign language, but It actually is the law of Moses that they're in reference in of, the Torah. And so the word Torah, as I said earlier, is a Hebrew word. And there's another word also, which is a Greek word. It's Pentateuch. And it's two words. Penta. Penta means five. And teus means vessel. And so when they use the word Torah, or either Pentateuch, they're speaking of the five books of Moses. These are two Greek words here that makes one word, Pentateuch. And so they're looking at the five books of Moses, and some of the people that practice this Jewish faith will not go beyond the five books of Moses. The understanding is that those five books are the only inspired word of God. But the Bible teaches us something about that, and we will learn this later on in this lesson. But the Torah, the book, the Torah universally was translated law to us when it came to the King James Version as law, the law of Moses. And in this book of Exodus, we will find that this law was given to Moses, and they were to keep it. And Torah also carries the sense of teaching or instruction. I'll just give these scriptures. I won't expound on them, but I'll just give these scriptures for those that are taking notes. It carries the sense of teaching, what we'll find in the book of Job. Job chapter 22 and verse 22 speaks about instruction. So this word Torah carries in the sense of teaching. And also in the book of Proverbs chapter 7, 8 and verse 1, it's a reminder of God's people. This is what the Torah serve as a reminder in the book of Psalms chapter 78 and verse 1. And then you go to Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 8, you will find that this book Torah teaches God people on how to live a successful life and how to please God. And those of us that if you read any in Proverbs, we see a lot of different proverbs that actually help us in our thinking, the things that we need to do to please God in the book of Proverbs. And then you have the book of Isaiah. The book of Isaiah chapter 30 and verse 9. We find that the people in that day and time did not want to hear God's word. And you in that 9 and 10 of Isaiah chapter 30, you'll find that some of the people say, don't teach us the things that are hard. Give us soft things. We want to hear smooth things. They didn't want to hear things that exposed to them their sins. They wanted things that were of the itching ears, things that sound good, feel good. But this is not how that we serve God. Just hearing things that make us feel good. We have to know what pleases God. And sometimes the truth hurts when we hear it. But if we would put our trust in God, we'll find out that it is for our best. And so this word Torah carries all these examples that I'm giving us this morning. Torah is also used in the connection with the term for requirement and demands, commandment and degrees. And I want just to look at a passage of scripture here in the book of Genesis, the book of Genesis chapter 26, and we just read a few passages of scripture there. Genesis 26 and verse 4 and 5. Notice what Moses wrote in this book of Genesis. Moses wrote the book of Genesis, the book of Leviticus, the book of Exodus, the book of Deuteronomy, and also the book of Numbers. These are the five books that were written by Moses. And he teaches us in the book of Genesis, chapter 26, in verse 4 and 5, God said, "And I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of the heaven. And I will give unto thy seed all these countries. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed." He says in verse 5, "Because that Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws." And this is the promise that God made to his people. If they kept his commandments, his statutes, and his laws, they would be blessed. And you know, the same applies to us today. That we have to keep God's law as well. But not the Old Testament law. You know, there's two immutable things about God. One is that God cannot lie. And the other one is that God does not change. But his law does. And that's what we'll see this morning in this lesson. I want us to look at another passage of scripture while we're in the old book. We want to look at the book of Exodus chapter 24. Exodus chapter 24. And we'll start around verse 1 and read down a few passages of scripture there. Exodus chapter 24. And verse 1. The Bible says, "And he said unto Moses," this is God speaking to Moses, "he said, come up unto the Lord, thou and Aaron and Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel, and worship ye afore all. And Moses alone shall come near to the Lord, and they shall not come nigh, neither shall the people go up with him. And Moses came and told the people all the words of the Lord, and all the judgment, and all the people answered with one voice, and said, all the words which the Lord hath said, we will do." In verse 4, the Bible says, "And Moses wrote all the words of the Lord, and rose up early in the morning, and built an altar under the hill, and 12 pillars according to the 12 tribes of Israel. And he sent young men of the children of Israel, which offered burnt offerings, and sacrifice, and peace offerings of oxen unto the Lord. And Moses took half of the blood, and put it in a basin, and half of the blood he sprinkled on the altar. And he took the book of the covenant and read the ordinance of the people. And they said, all the Lord has said we will do, and be obedient." And the Bible says, "And Moses took the blood and sprinkled it on the people and said, behold, the blood of the covenant which the Lord have made with you, covering all these words." And the Bible says, "Then they went up, Moses and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel." And the Bible says, "And they saw God, the God of Israel. And there was under his feet, as it were, a paved work of a sapphire stone, as it were the body of heaven in his cleanliness." You know, when I first studied that and I looked at it, I said, whoa, wait a minute. They say they saw God. I said, no man have seen God and lived. But they saw the image. They didn't see God's face. And I noticed something that they did here this morning. The Bible says that they came before God. They brought blood. They consecrated themselves to God. And then they sat down and they ate with God. Same thing we do this morning, is it? We come together this morning. We consecrate our lives to God this morning. We ask for forgiveness of sin. And then we sit down and we eat the Lord's Supper. Same thing we do this morning. But we have to consecrate ourselves before God before that we can sit down and eat with them. Because we know we can't do that with sin on us. But the Bible says that they saw God. But I want to notice something here in these passages of Scripture. I want us to come with me to the book of Exodus, chapter 33, and take a look at these passages of Scriptures. Exodus chapter 33. And I start with verse 9. The Bible says, and it came to pass, as Moses entered into the tabernacle, the cloudy pillar descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle, and the Lord talked with Moses. And all the people saw that the cloudy pillar stood at the tabernacle door. And all the people rose up and worshiped, every man in his tent door. And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend. Now, that didn't mean that Moses saw God face to face, but God spoke with him, just like you and I speak to each other. And the Bible says that and he turned again in verse 11 and came into the camp, but his servant Joshua and the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. And Moses said unto the Lord, see, thou sayest unto me, bring up this people, and thou shalt not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Ye thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight. Now Moses wanted to know more about God. He said, thou hast said that you know me. You know me by name. And thou hast found grace in my sight. But he wanted to know more about God. And notice what happened here in these passages of scriptures. The Bible says that in verse 14, saying, he said, my presence shall go with thee. And this is God talking to Moses. And I will give thee rest. And he said unto him, if thou presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. And the other guard, Moses said, if we can't go with you, then we don't want to go. If we can't go with you, God. Notice in verse 16, the Bible says, for wherein shall it be known here that I and the people have found grace in thy sight? It is not that thou goest with us, so shall we be separated, and all the people from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. In verse 17, the Bible says, and the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken. For thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. And the Bible says, and he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. And notice what happened in verse 19. The Bible says that, and he said, I will make all of my goodness pass before thee. This is God speaking to Moses. And I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy unto whom I will show mercy. And he said, thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. And he says that, and the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon the rock, and it shall come to pass while my glory passes by, that I will put thee in a cliff of the rock and will cover thy face with my hand while I pass by. And I will take away my hand and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen. And so we see that as we study these passages of scriptures over in Exodus, when they say that they saw God, we know that they didn't see his face. Because God said, no man can see my face and live. And so as we look at these passages of Scripture, we see where God dealt with the people of old firsthand. Talked with Moses face to face. But God doesn't deal with us like that in these day and times. The Bible tells us that the law was given to the people of God to be kept. And we find that in the book of Exodus chapter 24 and verse 12 and Exodus 16 and 22 and 28, that these books were to be kept and obeyed in order to please God. Within the book of Deuteronomy, we see that the Torah is used to spell out the responsibility of the Israelite under the old law, the Old Testament. And we see this morning that some question was asked in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 4. And we just look at a few passages of Scripture there as we still study out of this old book. Deuteronomy chapter 4. And let us look at verse 7 and 8. Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 7 and 8. It says, for what nation is there so great who have God so nigh unto them as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon him for? Notice in verse 8, and what nation is there so great that thou hast statutes and judgment so righteous as all this law, which I set before you this day? Now, these are some questions that was asked by God. What nation is so great to have a God like this that's close to them that they could call upon in a time of need? What nation is so great to have statutes, judgment, and laws as this nation of Israel? Of course, you and I, we live in a nation that has been blessed by God. We're able to come out and worship the Lord without being harassed from the outside world. We thank God for that. And so this was a question was asked, and we can ask that ourselves. What other nation is so great to have the laws and statutes and judgment that we have, that God has blessed us with? And also in this book of the Old Testament, we find that this law of God, the Torah, at one time was just thrown in a corner. As they ramshacked the temple, they just threw God's word, which was the five books, the Torah, just over in a corner. And we'll just look at these passages of Scripture here. Let me go to 2 Kings chapter 5. Excuse me, 2 Kings chapter 22. And we will look at a few passages of Scripture there. 2 Kings chapter 22. And we'll look at verse 1. This is what I want us to notice. The Bible says, and Josiah, 2 Kings chapter 22 and verse 1, the Bible says, was 8 years old when he began to reign. I want you to think about that for a moment. Josiah was 8 years old when he came into power to reign as the king of the people. Now, I was talking to David last week, and he was telling me that he was 8 years old. Now, this is when Josiah became king at 8 years old. Can you imagine David being the president of the United States? 8 years old? You know, you think about this. But you know, with God, all things are possible. Here's a child that became king at 8 years old. And the Bible says that God found favor in Josiah. Say he did not turn to the right or to the left, that he stayed straight. And the Bible teaches us that when Josiah became the age of 18 years old, he began to clean God's temple up that had been ramshacked. It tells us that there was a high priest by the name of Hilkiah. While he was cleaning this temple up, he found a book that was just thrown to the side. That's what a lot of people think of the Word of God. They could care less about God's Word. But in the ramshacking of that temple, the Word of God survived it. It's just like Isaiah says in Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 8. He said, the grass withered, the flowers faded, but the word of our Lord endureth forever. Brothers, sisters, and friends, visitors, the word of God will endure forever. It will never be destroyed. The mighty hand of God was over his word while they were ramshacking that temple. And the Bible tells us that Josiah was the last righteous king of that day because he began to seek the God of David with all of his heart, all of his might, and all of his strength. That's where he served God. You know, you think about this. I heard a story once of a Church of Christ preacher in a little town in Georgia. His name was Brother Keebler. And every time you would meet Brother Keebler, he would greet you. You say, "How you doing, Brother Keebler?" And he said, "The Bible is right." And he infected that whole town when he would meet people. They would speak to him. "Hi, Brother Keebler." He said, "The Bible is right." Even little children would come up to him. "Hi, Brother Keebler, the Bible is right." Wouldn't it be great if we all could come to this mind that the Bible is right? If we did, we wouldn't have all these problems in this world that we have today. If we all just believe that the Bible is right, wouldn't have these problems. But I just wanted to notice in these passages of scripture here that Josiah was just 8 years old when he came into power. And so that goes to show us this morning that nothing is impossible with God. He's able to do all things. And the Bible tells us in the book of 1 John chapter 2, it says that John says that, "My little children," you think about this, "as old as we are, God still consider us as his little children. He says, "My little children, I write unto you," 1 John chapter 2. He said, "that you sin not." Now, God knows that we're going to make mistakes and we're going to sometimes sin, but he teaches us. He said, "I write unto you that you sin not." But he said, "if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, which is a propitiation for our sins, and not ours only, but also for the whole world." Is that when we stumble and we fall, when we become a child of God, the only thing we have to do is ask God for forgiveness. He teaches us that the blood of Jesus Christ washes away our sins, just like laundry detergent cleanses dirty clothes. That stained spot, the blood of Jesus Christ washes away all of our sins, and it's just like it never happened, is when we ask for forgiveness. Now let me just go on a little further here. I know I'm not going to be able to get all this lesson this morning, but just want to just to say something here that, you know, when we hear this word Torah and Pentateuch, we know that these are words that are Greek words, and they're Hebrew words that are used by sometimes people that we may come in contact with. So don't be alarmed when we hear these words. They're just speaking words of the Old Testament, and that's the only thing that is going on at that time. But the Bible tells us that one of the things that we will find that in the New Testament times is that Jesus never condemned the old law. What he condemned were the traditions. The Pharisees went far way beyond the law of God into their own traditions. And those are the things that Jesus condemned. And we find this in the book of Mark. Come with me to the book of Mark, chapter 7. And we'll look at this passage of scripture here. Mark chapter 7. And we'll look at verse 8. We'll read down to 13. Notice what Jesus says. He said, "For laying aside the commandment of God, ye hold the tradition of men, as a washing of pots and cups, and many other such like things ye do." He said, "And he said unto them, full well ye reject the commandment of God, that ye may keep your own tradition. For Moses said, honor thy father and thy mother, and whoever curseth his father or mother, let him die the death. But ye say, if a man shall say to his father or his mother," he said, "it is korban," that is to say, a gift, "but whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, he shall be free. And ye suffer him no more to do aught for his father and his mother, making the word of God of none effect among your tradition, which ye have delivered, and many other such like things." This is what Jesus condemned, was the tradition of men. And the Pharisees were adding all these traditions as an oral law, not the written law. And that's what they were commanding people to follow, was the oral law, and rejecting, laying God's law aside. Those are the things that Jesus denounced and rejected, not the old law. The moral law of the old law we still keep, because we know that if we love each other, then we're not going to do each other harm. And that's what the old law spoke of. And we'll find out that, you know, that's a moral law that's really in effect today. Thou should not steal. Thou should not kill. Thou should not bear false witness against thy neighbor. This is the moral law. We all keep that today as a child of God. Now, I want us to notice something here this morning, is that the Apostle Paul had a whole lot to say about this Torah, the law of Moses. He had much to say about it. Notice, and I'm just going to get some passages of scripture here. I want to expound all of these scriptures. But in the book of Romans, chapter 10 and verse 5, the Apostle Paul teaches that the man that does these things, he say, shall live by them. That's what the Apostle Paul teach. If you're going to keep this old law, you got to live by it. That means that if you sin and through two or three witnesses confirm that you have sinned, you're to be stoned to death. That's the old law. If you're going to live by it, you got to keep it. You just can't dip and dab in it. You got to keep it. And Apostle Paul says that if you can keep it, you can live. If you could have kept that law, Jesus wouldn't have never had to come to this earth, and men could keep it. But what Jew could say that he had never sinned? No, not one. That's why we needed Jesus to come, because we all were under sin. In the book of Romans chapter 3 and verse 20, Paul says, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified. You can't work enough to earn. Once you sin, you can't work enough to earn salvation. Once you damage that relationship with God, you could never work to pay it by, to pay it back. You need God's grace. You need His mercy. And that's a free gift. God sent His Son to give us that free gift, because we couldn't earn it. We couldn't pay it back. Apostle Paul said, no flesh should be justified. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 56 says, for since all are found to be sinners, lawbreakers, that's what a sinner is, a lawbreaker, none can be sinless. No one can be sinless, since we all became lawbreakers. In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, that's what the Apostle Paul is saying. And Apostle Paul says in Romans chapter 4, and verse 14, he said, the power, this is what death is. He says that, Romans chapter 4 and verse 14 said, now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. And so we see this morning that Paul says that when we sin, we're just like a servant. We are working to pay a debt. That's what a servant does. He works to pay his debt. But he tells us this morning that it takes grace, because we won't be able to work to pay that debt. It takes the grace of God. Notice what he teaches in the book of Galatians chapter 3 and verse 22. It teaches that all are under sin. All mankind is under sin. That's why we all need the forgiveness of our sins from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, because we all are under sin. And notice something else. And I want to read this one in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And I want us to look at verse 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 7. And notice what the Bible called the old law. He said, but if the ministration of death, and this is what the Old Testament is called, the ministration of death. You notice why I call the ministration of death? Because when you sin and you were guilty of sin, you died right then. It was called the ministration of death, the Old Testament. Notice what it says. He says, if the ministration of death, written and engraven on stones, was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which glory, now notice this, was to be done away. The Old Testament glory was to be done away. The Old Testament, brothers and sisters and friends. We don't keep that law anymore. We're under the New Testament. And that's what a lot of Jews are still back here. They're back here under that Old Testament. And we're going to see something. If they stay back there, something's going to happen to them if they refuse to come out. The Bible says that in verse 9 said, for if the ministration of condemnation be glorious, much more does the ministration of righteousness exceed in glory. So that even that which was made glorious had no glory in the respect by reason of the glory that excelleth. For if that which is done away was glorious, much more that which remaineth is glorious. Now this is the Apostle Paul talking. about the ministration of death, the Old Testament. He says, seeing then that we have much hope, we use great plainness of speech, not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished. Notice what in verse 14 happened. The Bible says, but their minds were blinded. That's what happened. They couldn't see to the other side because their minds were blinded. And the Bible tells us this is what happened to people that refused to change. The devil blinds their minds. Notice what happened. He says that, but their minds were blinded, for until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. People that refuse to come out of that Old Testament are still blind. And you can talk to them till you are blue in the face. And they refuse to change. They can't see. They can't understand what you're talking about. You got to put your trust in Christ. That's what we have to put our trust in. We have to believe the teaching of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And notice what the Bible says. He says, even until this day, you talk to someone today of the Jewish faith, and this is where they are in the Torah of Moses, the old law, and you can't keep it. Why would you want to try to practice something that you can't keep? You hear a lot of people talking about tithing, and Lord's will, one day we'll deal with that. If this morning, if we tithe, do you know we have to build another building? But we got to bring some cows in here, some oxen, some sheep and goats. The first thing of your earning have to be brought in. Vegetables. If you tithe, it ain't just money. We don't tithe. There's no tithing in the New Testament. The Bible says we are to give as the Lord has prospered us. We're under a new law. Christ brought about his new law. And that's what we have to keep and obey. Now notice something here. The Bible says in verse 15, it said, but even until this day, when Moses is read the Torah, the veil is upon their heart. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. And that's the only time this veil is taken away, is when we turn our hearts to Christ. And the glorious light of the gospel shine into our hearts. That's the only time the veil will be taken away. The only time. Now, think about this. Who blinds the mind? We're going to look at that. 2 Corinthians 4. Notice verse 3. It says, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid unto them that are lost, and whom the God with a small g of this world have blinded the mind of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. That's who blinds the mind, is Satan. Not your physical sight, but he blinds your spiritual mind, the God of this world. And if you refuse to turn to Christ and accept him as your only Savior, you're going to stay blind. You can't see. You can't see clearly. Paul had a whole lot to say about the Torah. But you know, Jeremiah predicted something in the book of Jeremiah. And let's go back to in the old book. We look at this and we'll come back in a few passages of scripture. In the book of Jeremiah, 31 and verse 33,
Look at a few passages of scripture here. Jeremiah 31. We look at verse 33. Jeremiah says, "But this shall be the covenant which I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law in their hearts' inward parts and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor, but every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me, for from the least of them unto the greatest of them, says the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sins no more." You know, the Bible teaches that, and Jeremiah foretells this, that in the time that you and I are living in, the laws of God will not be on stones. It'll be in our hearts. And the Bible says that every man will know God for himself. And you want to leave your children an inheritance, your children and your grandkids and great-grandkids, then teach them to know God. That's a great inheritance that you can leave for your family as you teach them to know God. The Bible says that we're to teach our children to know Him so they won't forget the wonderful work that God has done for us. In the book of Romans chapter 3 and verse 13 and 8, we'll find in those passages of scriptures, you'll find that Paul talks about the Ten Commandments. You know what he says? He says that love worketh no ill to his neighbors. We're not talking about your next door neighbors. It's everybody that you meet. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. And you look at the Ten Commandments, love falls out from all those commandments. If we love our neighbor, we're not going to harm our neighbors. We're not going to kill our neighbors. We're not going to lie to each other if we love each other. We're not going to covet each other if we love each other. That's what love does. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. I want us to notice something that in the book of Matthew, and we'll close with these passages of scriptures, in the book of Matthew chapter 22 and verse 37, and we come to the conclusion. Matthew 22 and verse 37. The Bible says, "And Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all of thy heart and with all of thy might, with all of thy heart and with all of thy might and with all of thy souls, and with all of that mind. He said, This is the first and greatest commandment. The second is like so unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. He said, On these two commandments hang all the law of the prophets." Those two commandments is to love God and we love each other. If we mess those two up, we're not going to make it in. You know, a lot of people say, well, you know what, we have to treat everybody right, because you know what, we might be entertaining strangers unaware. You heard people say that, right? Yeah, you know, angel, we might be entertaining an angel unaware. That's not going to happen in our day and time. You're not going to meet an angel. You're not going to entertain an angel. But you know who you entertain? Is me and you. We have to learn to treat each other right. Because Jesus told his disciples. He says, when I was naked, he said, you didn't clothe me. When I was hungry, he said, you gave me nothing to eat. When I was in prison, you came not to visit me. I was sick, and you didn't come to visit me. And his disciples said, Lord, when would we see you? When did we see you in this condition? He said, for the least of one of these, my brethren, you did it unto me. We got to learn to treat each other right. Got to learn to love each other. You know, the rich young ruler said something. He came to Jesus. He said, good master, what shall I do to enter to
into eternal life. And Jesus spoke with them. And he quoted the Ten Commandments. He kept all of those Ten Commandments. And first of all, Jesus says, why callest me good? He says, there's none good but God. But he let them know that I kept all of the commandments from my youth up. And Jesus said, you've done well. He said, but now go and sell all that you have and pick up your cross and follow me. And he said the young ruler went away sorrowful because he was very rich. You know what Jesus says? He says, for it is hard for those that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God. He says, it's just like taking a camel and trying to get this camel to go through an eye of a needle. And when his disciples heard that, they said, well, who can be saved? If it's that hard for people to go to heaven, who can be saved? And Jesus, with men, it's impossible. But with God, nothing is impossible. And so we see this morning that we serve a God that nothing is impossible with him. Regardless how long that we have sinned, we serve a God that will forgive. I just wanted just to share this morning. If you haven't heard anything that I said this morning, I want you to listen to this. I talk to a lot of people about what it takes to be saved. And people give you all different kind of reasons and an example on how they were saved. And the Bible only gives us this example of God's plan of salvation. He tells us first, you have to hear. That's God's first step in his plan of salvation, is to hear, O Israel, in the book of Mark chapter 12 and verse 29 and 30, is that the first of all the commandments is to hear, O Israel, that our Lord God is just one. And we're to hear and we're to love him with all of our heart, all of our strength, and all of our souls. In the book of Romans, the Bible tells us, 10 and 17, so then faith coming by hearing, hearing by the word of God. And after we hear God's word, we have to believe it. And St. John chapter 29 and 30, the Bible teaches us that truly many signs did Jesus in the presence of his disciples that are not written in this book. He said, but these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, and through believing have life through his name. So after hearing God's word, you must believe it. And after believing it, you must repent. Luke 13 and 3. Shall tell you nay, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. And so when we hear God's word, when we believe God's word, then we have to change from our ways and turn to God, because God's word is true. After repentance comes a good confession. A good confession is not confessing our sins, but confessing Christ. The Bible teaches us that Romans 10, verse 9 and 10, so that thou wilt confess with thy mouth that Jesus is the Christ, and God has raised him from the dead, so that thou shalt be saved. So with the heart, man, believe it unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. So this is the good confession right here. Now, right here, you hear, believe, repent, confess. You're still not saved. It's the fifth and final step that puts us in Christ, which is baptism. Now, how did I know that you're not saved? Because we have to have our sins washed away. That's how. You can hear, believe, repent, and make the confession, but if you're never baptized, then your sins are not washed away. And the only way that we can have our sins washed away is in the watery grave of baptism. You know what the Bible says over in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 20 and 21? It teaches us that once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, therein few, he said that eight souls there were saved by water. Even so, baptism does also now save us. Not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but our answer
of a good conscience by the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This is where we get our conscience clean. It's through the blood of Jesus Christ in the watery grave of baptism. And you have to know right here why you're being baptized. You have to know that you're being baptized to have your sins forgiven. You can't have your sin forgiven and not know that they are being forgiven. You have to know this. And that's where the Bible teaches. And once you're baptized into Christ, and then you stumble and fall, we are to repent of those sins, confess, and ask for the prayers of the righteous if we sin the sin that have shamed the body of Christ. That's when we come before the church. We ask the church for forgiveness. But if we sin, not a sin, a public sin, we can ask God to forgive us at any time. So while we stand this morning and sing the chosen song, if we're subject to the gospel in any manner, we may make the good confession. Or we just need prayer. We may come while the invitation's on the same.